Acadia Public Radio.
Out of the Ground Zero Lounge tonight. I am Clyde Lewis, and we're on ZeroPointRadio.com. Give them a big round of applause for broadcasting us. Tell you what, a lot of great things going on with ZeroPointRadio.com. We just signed Alfred Weber from ExoPolitics onto the network, so give Alfred Weber a big round of applause. He actually has been on my show many times. We did an interview with him a long time ago. We were looking into EM pulses. And also talking about space wars and things of that nature. He's a professor. He has investigated exopolitics for a long time. He's got a great show there. We're also proud to bring on the air, too, DigiVegas. That's a show where we're featuring bands that are unsigned bands that are traveling through the country. And so not just conspiracy theory, not just some of the stuff we talk about at Ground Zero, but a whole lot of shows on the network for the lifestyle of people who like to participate in this kind of discussion, who like things that are independent and outside the box that are very interesting. That's what ZeroPointRadio.com is all about, and we're very happy to be a part of this network. Give Bill Coons a round of applause for coming on tonight and videotaping the program. Once again, we're on Blip TV and also VO, and you can see us also on Zero Point Radio, K-Rock, ZeroPointRadio.com's EL4TV, which, of course, is a subsidiary of theirs. We are expanding. The radio network is expanding. We are expanding. The reason why is because how many people experienced the changeover last week to digital? How did it go for you? Yeah, not that good. Yeah, I told you. I warned everybody that it wouldn't go well for people. Yeah, good. I'm glad you stopped buying stuff. No, it did not go well for a lot of people. I don't have TV in my home now. I'm okay with that, I guess. I'm spending more time now on the internet, spending more time with those I love and not having to deal with television. The thing that's interesting about the switchover is there'll be more opportunity for content, and I may be dabbling and maybe producing a TV show. I don't know. I'll see what I can do about that. I'd love to do that. But in the meantime, and it would be on an independent channel, and in the meantime, I'm doing the radio network, and it's going to be this way for a while because radio and television now are going through a change. The only way you're going to be able to hear me and hear what I have to say outside of the Ground Zero Lounge is on the internet. So ZeroPointRadio.com, the internet with the videos that Bill Coons does, these are the only ways we're going to get the message out there because they're going to start cracking down and they're going to start keeping people from saying what they want to say. The people's printing press is now going away and we're going to struggle to keep it going. Go ahead.
Well, the one TV channel is Northwest 32.
Yeah.
I was watching Family Guy the other night. I was watching Sex in the City and then a Walter Matthau movie.
So they haven't taken that off the air yet. Well, then good. I'll watch Family Guy.
But the thing is, I'll watch Family Guy.
Family Guy was my best friend when I had cancer. It was all morphine and Family Guy. And Gene Simmons' Family Jewels, too. So that was great.
So how can, if one channel is going to stay on, I would think, advertise on that one station, NW32. Not trying to give them a plug, which is, that's one
thing
that was on.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Maybe they haven't done that switchover yet. Who knows? I don't know what's going on with that. So, anyway, a lot of strange things going on with the TV, a lot of strange things going on in the world, and I'm going to be reflecting some of that tonight. Now, I got to warn you that tonight's show Tonight's show is a cross between a lesson about 2012 in the future and a Sunday school lesson. The reason why I do this is because when shit goes down that I see is apocalyptic, you can't help but start looking in the Quran, you can't help but start looking in the Old Testament, you can't help but start looking in the Book of Revelation, all this other stuff, because these are the very things that move the people, okay? You know, whatever you may think about money, whatever you may think about resources, the bottom line is what you believe religiously. Your politics as well, but they're trying to mingle the two. And so we're going to try to find that happy medium between religion and politics, that happy medium between future and present. And so it may get a little deep for you, but you have to hear this because it fascinated me, and it fascinated a lot of people that worked on the show with me, especially Janine, who helps me with the images. She was completely blown away by some of the stuff we were uncovering, and some of it she yawned at, but she says, this stuff's really going to be good. They're going to love it tonight, so you guys are going to love it. I call this show tonight, The Mystery and Madness of Weird War 4. The Mystery of Madness of Weird War 4. I call it Weird War 4 because many people believe that World War 3 has already happened. But it is a weird war. And we're about to experience a very, very weird war. Now, according to Ralph Epperson, the author of The Unseen Hand, An Introduction to Conspiratorial View of History, we usually make a deal with our conscience. We make a deal with our conscience trying to figure out what is reality and what isn't reality, and we have to accept different views of history. Now, everybody has their different ideas of history. You hear about people who deny the Holocaust, for example. We've been hearing a lot about this Broom character. You hear a lot of people that believe that 9/11 was an inside job. You hear a lot of people who have different versions of history. Well, we need to understand that there are people who see history differently because history, of course, is written by the winners, and the losers have their idea of what history is all about. We believe, many people actually believe in something known as the catastrophic or accidental view of history. Now, the other view is the conspiratorial view. And the conspiratorial view is that everything is planned, everything is pre-planned, everything is determined and guided and directed by people in power. Only a certain group of people make history, kind of like what 1984 was all about, when Orwell said, those who control the past, control the present, control the future, that sort of thing. So that's what it is we have to make a deal with our conscience of what things truly are, what they might be, and so we have to analyze all those things, and that's where we find out what resonates with our conscience. What all resonates with our conscience is what we believe, and that's why if I say one thing up here, you may not think that it's correct. But the truth of the matter is that there's a lot of studying that goes into this, a lot of putting together of the pieces, puzzle pieces, and a lot of the times what you may know is not necessarily what is real. And what I'm saying is not necessarily the final solution either. But it's something to make you think about. So as we move on and we talk more about history, in the catastrophic or accidental view of history, we are led to believe that historical events such as wars and revolutions were the direct result of some sudden or surprising event. Now, while the catastrophic view is accurate for weather, volcanoes, and earthquakes, it doesn't always provide the realistic view of humanity and events influenced by man. See, a lot of these historical events are controlled and they're planned out, all for some purpose. Most Americans, though, have been taught that the catastrophic and accidental version of history is the real history. That everything was by accident, that things happened by chance, that nothing was planned, nothing had been carried out. There is no blueprint. Excuse me, there is no blueprint for what history is. People don't go by certain belief systems. It's all up to chance, right? And as a result, we discover that the conspiratorial view of history, and the immediate reaction is shock when you tell them it was all planned. They think they're in disbelief. They refuse. They deny if you tell them this was all planned. That you can see it happening. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because the past couple of weeks I've been listening to ZeroPointRadio.com, and I've been hearing some of the shows that we have been discussing here at the Ground Zero Lounge. And some of the shows they've been replaying are actually shows that we did months ago, and yet talking about what's going on now. That we have pretty much figured out the future by discussing them here in this bar. In fact, it prompted me to do a promo saying, what we've talked about in the past is your present now, and what we're talking about in the present is going to be your future. This is not a test. It is the future, and this is what we're doing. Because we do not subscribe to the accidental idea of history. Sure, there are some accidents, but most things that you're seeing in the news now are all planned. One of the things I want to point out to you, and many people who are in this audience remember, back in March, I had said that the new terrorists to pay attention to will be the right-wing extremist, will be the racist or the white supremacist, will be flus and pandemics and bio-attacks. Well, we've already had the flu and the pandemic. We've already been raised to six now. We've already had a guy walk in and shoot at the Holocaust Museum, and now they're using it. Oh, and an abortion doctor was shot, too. So now, what are these people? They are right-wing extremists, and they're homegrown terrorists, and it's exactly what we told you to be planning for. We did this back in March. So this is why I'm bringing up the difference between accidental and catastrophic history and history that is planned, because it just seems to me that everything is planned. And the conspiratorial view of history is a lot like, well, it shares a common bond and thread with biblical history. Why? Because biblical history is the same thing. If you read a Bible, or you read a Quran, or you read the Old Testament, the Torah, or whatever, it basically says that there are certain things that happen in history, and they repeat themselves over and over again. And so prophecy is nothing more than guessing the algorithm of history. See, when I come up with something that comes true, it's not because I'm a prophet, and it's not because of the fact that I know more than anyone else. It's because you take a look at history, you analyze the outcomes, you figure them out on your own, and you pretty much figure out that prophecy is nothing more than algorithms of history. Go ahead.
Well, with the terrorist attacks being the lone gunman, terrorism experts have said that they are the scariest and most dangerous ones, acting on their own because they don't leave a trail of emails or communications or ways of tracking them, and therefore that's kind of a pretense of creating you know, more people to get scared. Because,
well, it's always a lone nut, isn't it? It's never planned. We never have anybody behind the guy making him go and do what he does. You see, that is the thing, is that they want you to think it's a lone nut because they don't want you to know of the conspiracy to plan it the way it was planned, whether it be the shooting of an abortion doctor or the gunning down of a security guard at a Jewish Holocaust Museum. So, I mean, you take a look at history and you figure out things like the Manson family, you figure out things like John Hinckley Jr., you think about all these things and you start saying the people behind the people, same with 9/11. Remember we talked about Project for New American Century, we talked about the attacks. Those guys actually wrote out their intentions before they attacked. Oh, we need another Pearl Harbor. Oh, we just had it. Who did they pay? Who did they pay for that new Pearl Harbor? You see? And that's where you have to follow the money trail and figure out, like I said, going after the accidents and mistakes of history is all what conspiracy theory is all about. What you do is you take a look at, like in the biblical way, you say there are evil people doing evil things and there's a group of people causing evil to happen and you got it's good versus evil, but it's all in this, what I call the pre-planned timeline situation. Even if you look, what's really funny is this is a scripture in Psalms, and it says, "Why do nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains," etc., etc., etc. It's all written out in the book of Psalm right there. Conspiracies are real. And why do men conspire? They conspire because, well, that's what men do when they're put alone for a while. Go ahead.
You have the conspiracy down. It's not a theory. It is very real.
Thank you.
And then, the only thing that could save you, anybody, from a conspiracy, is remember that everybody is out for themselves. May not let you win. Maybe let you live.
Thank you for that. Hey, give him a hand for that. It's good. It's very good. It's true. In similar fashion, you take a biblical and conspiratorial history, and what it has is it has secret language, images, dates, times, mystical numbers. It's all factored in because that's how it all works out. And these numbers are signposts or portents, and if we are aware of the various symbols, the world becomes a whole new place, and the landscape delivers a mountain of synchronicity and imagery. You can just figure out the numbers and symbols, you're pretty much taken care of. You know, numbers like 666 and all that stuff, that's pretty much in there because it just makes everything interesting and fun. Conspiracy history has its roots in biblical overtures and ancient ritualism. World events are not simply circumstantial, but the result of an organized campaign by an elite group of unseen and widely unknown world leaders. Their beliefs in ancient symbolism, secret society, occultism, ritual magic affects us all regardless of religious beliefs or practices. I don't care if you're a Christian, pagan, or whatever. Whatever your leaders do, that's their belief system, and you have to basically kiss their ass. Okay? And I know that, for a fact because I lived in Utah. They said there was a separation of church and state. Bullshit. You have Mormon leaders in places of power. Those Mormon leaders basically make it so you can't drink in a bar the right way. All right? By the way, if you have something you want to say, I have two microphones right here, right there and right there. So if you want to comment on what I'm talking about, I don't take well to hecklers. We do throw you out. So just keep that in mind. Anyway, because this is what it's about. It's about discussing. And if you don't have a view that's similar to mine, or if you want to discuss your view, we're more than happy to listen to that view. Thing is that your leaders answer to other philosophies secretly. They pretend to be Christians on the outside. Many of them pretend to be other things on the inside or the outside, but they do a lot of real weird ritualistic shit that's old and scary and spooky, and they believe in all the Old Testament and the old ritualistic Babylonian secret school stuff. And that's what they believe in. Okay? And they use a lot of things, a lot of plays within religion to manipulate you. For example, on June 10, 2009, an 88-year-old white supremacist walked into the U.S. Holocaust Museum and killed a security guard, gunning him down in cold blood. The story has sent shockwaves through the public consciousness and has triggered worries about homegrown extremism. The date of the attack? It happened exactly 1,290 days from the date of December 21, 2012. The date of what some people believe to be the end of the dispensation. Now, why is this significant? Why am I bringing up the number 1290, 1,290 days? What does that mean? What does it calculate? Does it calculate to anything? Well, because the calculation of approximately 42 months, 3.5 years, or 1,260, 1,290 days, and I give it that because of a calendar situation, is something known as Bien HaMetzarim. Bien HaMetzarim is a Jewish... It is a Jewish prophecy that is supposed to happen where the number of the days, 1,290, is where the enemies will then try to take over Israel. Isn't that interesting that on the day that we go into a Jewish Holocaust museum, it's exactly 1,290 days from the 2012 due date that the Mayans talk about? That could mean that what Daniel talked about in the Bible is correct, and this 1,290 days, or the Bien Het Matzarim, is actually happening now, and the enemies are turning on Israel. I'm going to show you that they are, and I'm going to show you through the news that they are. And the reason why I have 1260 to 1290 is because there are 360 days in the biblical calendar, not 365. So you have to figure in leap year and all this other stuff. So I'm giving a nice little... He said 1290, I'm selling 1260, 1290, about 30-day difference. Now, another thing interesting about this is the numbers are strange because, like I said, the situation with the calendar, but also the time frame is from solstice to solstice. So another date to think about is June 22nd. June 22nd to the winter solstice of 2012 is 1290, 42 months. 3.5 years. Okay? They're saying that Bien Het Matzarim is 3.5 years. Christians believe that there is going to be 3.5 years entering into the tribulation and 3.5 years after the tribulation, which means that we have 3.5 years until 2012 and another 3.5 years for the Antichrist to take power, according to Christians. So you're looking at all these numbers and saying, is this real? Is this prophecy? Is this something to think about? Well, it's not just the Jews, it's the Christians, and I'm also going to show you what the Muslims believe as well. It's an interesting thing that this is all coming to pass. Here's a coincidence for you. Barack Obama speaks in Cairo, Egypt, and what does he say? He says, oh, people, guess what? I want to create a Palestinian state. Israel gets pissed off at the United States and says, fuck you, you're not going to do this to us. Who the hell do you think you are? So all of a sudden, Israel believes that they're under attack. Israel believes that they have every reason now to fight back. And so what are they going to do? They're going to go after somebody. They're going to make somebody pay for this shit. Who might they go after? They may go after Iran. You heard about Iran and their elections and what's going on there? A lot of strange stuff happened there. What do you have to say, Brian, about that? You were telling me earlier. What, you want to talk about the elections in Iran?
Well, I mean, I think we've all heard perhaps about disputes about it. And they say that it was 62.5% majority for Ahmadinejad. But how come then there's 100,000 people out in the streets screaming that their vote wasn't counted? I mean, I think that's similar to what we saw in 1979, where a single large event can set off large public reaction in the streets in Iran. So let's hope for the best.
See, very good. Give Brian a hand for that, and I'll tell you why. We are on the verge of having the same thing happen in this country. California is ready to go bankrupt, and they're cutting welfare. Now, you cut welfare from the poverty. You cut those who are impoverished. You cut welfare from them, and what do? They riot. They want food, and they want to drink, and they need it. They will riot. And Schwarzenegger better be goddamn good and sure he's in the bunker, because it's going to be really freaky. And this is happening, mind you, within the time frame that I had said. It happened within the time frame. Remember, I said 120 days back in March. We're getting close to that 120 days. And now, with the date of June 10th, 1290, 3.5 months, I mean 42 months, 3.5 years. This is a fulfillment of something that, this is a Jewish prophecy. This is more than that. It's Jewish. And even then, it's also known as the time and one half times. I looked this up too. 3.5 years, time and one half times of the tribulation is what the Christians believe. It's eschatology. The Christians believe in the 3.5 tribulation. That's what this is. Now, what they say is that there's an unstable peace during this time. An unstable peace full of extremism and fanaticism. What do we have now? We have women cutting babies out of other women. We have people who are just fanatics and extremists on killing abortion doctors. We are in a time of an unstable peace. And what that means is within the people themselves, the hearts of the people are going nuts. Okay, and this is all within that 1290 time frame. It's all supposed to happen during this 1290 time frame. From the book of Daniel, it says, "And from the time that daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days to count down till the end of the first 3.5 years, which ends December 21st, 2012. From the date of June 10th, when that guy walked into the museum, shot that guy, and then we have that Jewish tradition that says, well, the enemies of Israel are now rising up in the 1,290 days. Go ahead.
What's the daily sacrifice?
What's that? The day of the sacrifice, the daily sacrifice is taken away. When they take sacrifices away from the temple. When they take sacrifices away from the temple. That's what it means. There's also a risk at this time. Now get a load of this. This is taken from old writings. Who said I'm full of shit? Thank you. Why don't you come and say it on the microphone? Do you think I'm full of shit? All right, come and tell me why I'm full of shit. This will be interesting.
My whole point of view is you're full of more shit than a Christmas Jew, buddy. Because you're just fucking anti-American, so fuck you.
Okay. I'm anti-American. Okay. I'm pro-American. All right. That was interesting. Got a little scary there for a minute, too. I'm a fucking piece of shit. Okay. Anyway, I'm anti-American. Anyway, there's a risk at this time that there will be an alien threat, meaning a threat to individuals through their corrupt leaders who are making pacts with alien or unknown things. What I mean is the secret pacts. I don't necessarily believe it's an alien situation, but what it is it says that there will be people who will make pacts with some unusual people and unusual allies and unusual gods and all this other crazy stuff. And it says that what will happen is that then they will honor, according to this writing, it says they will honor things in the fortresses of forces with the alien god and who acknowledge him. This alien god, the Antichrist, will also greatly honor, and this false prophet will rule over many, and the land will be divided for reward. Now, what's interesting about this here is this. The alien god that has been interpreted as the god of war is Mars. The god of fortresses is also Mars. Cairo was once known by the ancients as the city of Mars. You can look this up. I'm not making it up. Barack Obama made his famous speech in Cairo, the city of Mars. Now, is this a coincidence? I don't think it is. I think that when that speech was made, they knew that if he was to make this speech in Cairo, the city of Mars, it would send a message to people who actually know of these traditions. These are ancient Jewish traditions, and that's why Israel is so pissed off. Because they know what it meant to have a man who claims to be a Christian, who has a Muslim name, walking into Cairo, Egypt, the city of Mars, and making a declaration about dividing the land for reward. Dividing Palestine and Israel. This is pretty scary shit. They went and they actually kicked sacred writings to make this happen. All right? This is kicking. I mean, you can think that I'm not up in the night about this, but I do know a lot about religion. And this is what they did. More proof, and I'll show you why. When Obama went to Cairo, Egypt, they actually welcomed him as the new King Tutankhamun. That is a picture of the posters they were handing out at his meeting. They said that he was the King Tut, the new King Tut. And that he, and you've heard me say before that a lot of people think that he's the new King Akhenaten, right? Well, the thing about Akhenaten and King Tut is they both worship the disc sun god or the alien reptilian god Aton or Aten. Very fascinating because this is not an accident. Here's another not an accident thing. A sculpture of Michelle Obama looking like an Egyptian princess. Available there in Egypt when they showed up. Now, if that doesn't give you the creeps, I don't know what will. These people welcomed him to Cairo as some sort of messianic messenger. Okay? Creepy. It's also no accident that when in Cairo, Barack Obama used his full name. Now, how many people remember the shit that went down during the election when conservatives would get up and call him Barack Hussein Obama by applause? Anybody remember that? So why is it that when he goes to Cairo, he gets up and he says, I am Barack Hussein Obama, my father is a Kenyan Muslim, I have family that are Muslims, etc., etc., etc.? Because, people, I'll tell you why. Because he wanted them to understand that when he says Barack Hussein Obama, that he is the chosen one to deliver a message. Okay? And I'll tell you what that message is. People think that he's the Antichrist. He's not the Antichrist, but he's damn close. He's the forebearer of a prophetic message that he wanted to give to the Muslims. And here we go. According to the 17th century hadith from Bihar al-Anwar, Imam Ali ibn al-Tahib prophesied that the end of times and just before the return of the Mahdi, the ultimate savior, described as a tall black man, will assume the reins of government in the West, commanding the strongest army on earth. The new ruler in the West will carry a clear sign from the third imam, whose name was Hussein ibn Ali. The tradition concludes, Shiites should have no doubt that he is with us. That is prophecy code. A tall, dark man sent from Hussein is with us. Now, using the name Barack Hussein Obama, Obama's first and second names, Barack Hussein, mean the blessing or the spark or sent from Hussein. In Arabic and Persian, his family name Obama, written Persian alphabet, reads O-ba-ma, which means he is with us. So coming from Hussein is the sign and the message, he is with us. That is why he said, I am Barack Hussein Obama. I have fulfilled the prophecy of the Hadith, and that is why I'm here to speak to you today in the city of Mars. Basically, kicking the prophecy of Daniel from the Old Testament and the Jews, and basically enhancing the favor of the Muslims by declaring that he is the one chosen to speak from the 17th century prophecy Hadith. Very fucking scary. Furthermore, The passage from Daniel, the Old Testament, the false prophet will divide the land for reward. During this time, the leader then uses his wealth to fortify the fortresses of war with the prince of the north. Take a look at this. He proposes the Palestinian state within 2 years. He wants to use that to benefit Europe and fortify the European Union with money so that it can build its armies, giving power to the prince or king of the north. Now, we all know who that's going to be, right? Either Prince Charles or Prince William, depending on how you look at it. But he's going to fortify the ecumenical Anglo Empire with money used to divide both Israel and Palestine. At the end of the 1,290 days, Prince William, my candidate for the Antichrist, will be 30 years old. If his calling is to be prince of power in the north, then he will organize his power base with the help of Barack Obama. Michael Hoffman II, a well-known self-proclaimed conspiracy realist, has stated that it would not be impossible to know who the messianic leader is. All you have to do is figure out the numbers of the 3.5 years of the tribulation, and then follow the money, find out who's receiving the control of commerce, who will be fortifying the military might, and who will establish the pseudo-religious empire. That's how you'll know that the empire has been established. You know what? They're not going to come out and say this. They're not going to say to you, oh, by the way, we are the Antichrist Empire. I'm not going to say that. You're going to have to figure out what that is on your own, if you believe that. You're going to have to figure out if anything else is being fulfilled on your own. That is the whole point of this. In Great Britain, one of the things they're doing is they're anointing knights to the realm of the Garter, which is a secret society. It's pretty much an Illuminati secret society. Prince William was just made the 999th member of the Garter, and in 6 years from now, it'll be the 606, actually not six, in 3.5 years from now, about the time of 2012, it's going to be the 666th year of the Garter, which I find fascinating. So you have that number 666 coming up again. And by that time, Prince William will be 30 years old, and that will be the end of the 3.5 years. And then, if he becomes prince, he'll have another 3 years. He'll make him 33. It's like the whole Jesus Christ thing all over again. 30 years for Christ, 33 years when he was over with. Pretty interesting, I think. Pretty interesting. Prince William was born of the lunar princess Diana and solar prince Charles, who was Scorpio and descendant of the German Teutonic royalty. William was born on June 21st, 1982. His birthday's coming up on the solstice. How's that for timing? It's all planned. Yeah, well, look. They induced labor on Princess Diana in order for him to be born on this day. They did. Of course they did. They did. They wanted to make it happen on that day. It's the belief system of the British Israel, the British Zion. I talked about this before. It's the idea that they think that the establishment of the New World or the New World Order has to happen in Britain. Britannia is the ruling area. They believe that the last 10 tribes of the house of Israel are in the British Commonwealth, that the bloodlines have not left the earth, that Jesus did not die on the cross, hence we have movies like The Da Vinci Code, movies like Angels and Demons. It's all because we wrote these books, and these books are trying to tell the truth about, hey, it never really happened like you thought it did, and people who are in power right now all believe that their bloodlines come from Jesus Christ himself, including Barack Obama, because he's related to Cheney, who's related to Bush, who's related to whomever. See, these people, hold on. These people think that they are rulers over us because they feel that they have the blood of Christ in their veins, and it's something that they believe for some time, and they also believe in something known as the third temple that they want to erect, the third temple of Solomon, if you will. And that is another thing, too. They're going to be rebuilding this temple soon. And in order for this to happen, according to the 1290-day thing, they're asking something called the Abomination of the Desolation, which means the Dome of the Rock will be destroyed. If the Dome of the Rock is destroyed within the next 3.5 years, you better watch your ass. It's going to be bigger than 9/11. Okay? Bigger than 9/11. This is a big deal to the Muslims, and it's a big deal to the Jews. Okay? Yeah. That's a pretty big deal right there. The Dome of the Rock destroyed will signal to the world that this is the beginning of that time period I'm talking about. Okay? Site will be dedicated to the new king of the world, and they're going to try to give birth to something called the red heifer, which you've talked about before, the red heifer. A lot of fundamentalist Christians believe that the second coming of Jesus cannot occur until the third temple is built and until the red heifer is born. What's really creepy about this whole thing is they're doing all kinds of weird breeding things to get this thing to happen. They're trying to get human cow embryos put together so they can have a red heifer unblemished so they can burn it and they can use the ashes to put in front of it. It's just weird stuff. It's like the Omen. You know, it's like something out of the Omen where the jackal gave birth to the Antichrist. It's really creepy stuff. This is stuff that they believe. Okay. This is weird, ritualistic stuff that they believe in, and it's something you should be aware of. Because when you start hearing this stuff happening, you'll start going, ooh, they're doing their weird little ritualistic stuff. You've got to be careful of that stuff. Clyde Lott, who is a cattle breeder, is attempting to breed red heifers and then ship them all to Israel so they'll have some to burn and use for sacrifice. Fascinating, isn't it? Because they want to give God a little bit of a nudge. In fact, all the leaders want to give him a little bit of a nudge. A guy by the name of Peter Lemsurier wrote this, the Armageddon script. He said, their script is now written, subject only to last-minute editing and stage directions. The stage itself, albeit in darkness, is almost ready. Down in the pit, the subterranean orchestra is already tuning up. The last-minute walk-on parts are even now being fulfilled. Most of the main actors, one suspects, have already taken up their roles. Soon it will be time for them to come on stage, ready for the curtain to rise. The time for action will then come. Basically, it's all planned out. It's not accidental history. It's planned history. In biblical parlance, we often hear that before any major earth event, there are signs and wonders in the night sky. The world has seen an increase of unidentified aerial phenomena, or UFOs, in the skies lately. We've heard about them in the news a lot. Also, near-earth objects. You heard about that young boy that got hit by the meteorite. I don't know if you heard about that. Young boy got hit by a meteorite. I was just saying, you have a bigger chance of being hit by a meteorite in a terrorist attack if this kid gets hit by a meteor. It's really interesting stuff. But see, there's something else, too, about comets, falling stars, or fallen stars that are supposed to happen before all this stuff goes down, before all this stuff's supposed to happen. And the word wormwood is mentioned as the name of this. But it's been mentioned a lot. A lot of people have their ideas of what wormwood is. But let me just point this out to you. It's really kind of an interesting thing about wormwood and the fallen star. Several interpretations of what wormwood represents, however, you look at the specific definition of the anomaly, it is solely connected to a major event from space that signifies a tremendous spiritual change on the planet. If you look into the biblical dictionary or interpretation, you will find that the term wormwood from the times of the old writings always is used to denote a significant ecclesiastical change coinciding with a heavenly sign. Literally translated, it means a number of things. The power of the air, the instrument, in its fall of sore judgments on large numbers of the wicked in reference to the fall of a good shepherd or mighty prince or leader. Now, how many people have heard about what's going on with Beetlejuice by applause? No one. Beetlejuice is one of the brightest stars in the heavens right now. It's in the shoulder of Orion. Well, UC Berkeley just announced that the star has now shrunk. In the past 10 years, it's shrunk more than 15%. We all know what that means, don't we? That means it's going to go nova. Okay? Or it already has gone supernova, and we don't know it yet because we haven't seen it yet. Beetlejuice is about to go supernova, or it's already gone supernova. Now, I don't want to panic anybody because the gamma burst from this star exploding is not going to reach us. But what it's going to do is it will explode, and when we see it explode, it's going to be brighter than the moon at night. So you'll see something in the sky that'll be far brighter than the moon at night because Betelgeuse is going to, they say it's going to be bursting out, and when it does, it's going to burst out farther than the entire Jovian system is. Now, the Jovian system, for those of you that don't know, is Jupiter's system, and Jupiter's system can fit billions of our Earths and billions of our suns in that solar system. So that's how big this supernova is going to go. And it's 600 light years away, and they've already noticed in 10 years that the star is about ready to blow if it hasn't blown already. Now, what's interesting about this is that I believe that Betelgeuse is wormwood, and this is why. If you take a look at wormwood, once again, the definition is the power of the air, the instrument in its fall of sword judgments on large numbers of the wicked in reference to the fall of the good shepherd or a mighty prince or leader. Beetlejuice means, in Arabic, the chosen one. And in Babylon, it's called the heavenly shepherd. The destruction of Beetlejuice means the fall of the heavenly shepherd. That's a big event, people. It's bigger than any comet. It's bigger than anything else. And the significance of it is far more mind-blowing, especially in the times of the 1290, if we were in those times now before 2012. This is huge. This is something. This is a major event that's happening in our lifetimes right now that's far greater than anything that could be happening in politics, far greater than anything happening in religion. It's belief systems being kicked around and knocked around and manipulated to get people to be afraid. But it's a major event, the fall of the heavenly shepherd. You're going to be able to see Orion, or the shoulder of Orion will be no more. It'll be gone. The skies will look different to you when you wake up and look out in the skies at night. Isn't that amazing? It's in our lifetime, too. Because if it took 10 years for it to shrink that much, it could take another 2, maybe 3 years, 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,290 days in 2012 to see that explosion in the sky. That might change our lives. Make us realize just how small we are in this universe. The very peculiar belief systems of the world and the manipulation of these beliefs by world leaders are what will set the stage for what will be known as the Fourth World War. Why will it be number four? Well, some analysts are saying that the Cold War was the Third World War. And with the impact of the weird belief systems, I call it Weird War 4. This is the war of weirdness. This is the war where all these weird biblical things are going to take place, where all these weird happenings are going to go on. And not everybody's going to be sure about them, and that's why Ground Zero Lounge comes around, because I'm going to try and tell you and guide you through it, because it's pretty interesting stuff for me. The final weird war is happening now. On various Ground Zero shows, we pointed out how different things can happen. Last week's show, we talked about how the intentions of Cheney and his ilk were written in the Project for the New American Century. That they talked about the idea of perhaps playing a new Pearl Harbor happening, and it happened. Biological terror, and it happened. See, all these things are written out and pre-planned. That just goes to show you the conspiratorial view of history is the most convenient way to think because not everything's accidental. Weather, volcanoes, and earthquakes can be, but all this other stuff, not all that accidental. It's all written out in scriptures. It's all written out in texts. It's all written out in essays and in all kinds of Muslim and Old Testament writings. See, you notice I make it for everybody. Israel, Islam, and Christianity. The outline for the Weird War IV. Once America is firmly entrenched in the Middle East and parts of Africa, with the majority of our first-line units going in to destabilize these countries, North Korea is to attack South Korea, and with America's forces stretched well beyond the limit, Russia strikes at Israel, China's to invade Taiwan. We first laid all this stuff out in a little show we like to call Doomsday and Other Happy Moments. It's running currently on ZeroPointRadio.com. You give it a listen. We actually wrote this out, and it got a lot of attention from the military. In fact, I believe it was Intercom told us we should have destroyed the show. We didn't destroy it, because they said it caused a lot of turmoil, and a lot of people thought it was the real thing. They thought it was our war of the worlds. If you listen to it, it makes you think, because we basically wrote it out, and it was based on Juan Cole, it was based on Zbigniew Brzezinski, it was based on a lot of things. We're closer to a world war because, loosely defined, there needs to be a military conflict spanning more than two continents in which at least 20 major countries participate in an attack against a common enemy. So all we need now is Israel to start attacking Palestine, North Korea attack South Korea or the U.S., or China invades Taiwan, and we'll have the final weird war. Boy, that wasn't hard, was it? See this headline? Just yesterday. North Korea warns of nuclear war. Boy, who'd have thought? Go ahead.
I just wanted to say Jason reminded me of something I'd forgotten. During the original broadcast of that show, Nick, the producer, actually had to get on and announce that it wasn't real. I'd forgotten all about that.
Yeah, because everybody thought it was real, because we had looked into the plan of what would happen, and we put together a plan of how World War III or World War IV was going to go out, and it's happening the way we planned it, actually, because we basically took out books, the Grand Chessboard by Zbigniew Brzezinski. We looked at Juan Cole's essay about how America would be like Iraq. We put them all together, and we came out with an idea and a plan of how it was all going to go down, and it went down just like this. China invades Taiwan, North Korea, South Korea. It's a big mess. And China ends up coming into the United States to basically try and save us. And we look at it as hostile because they got to save their interests. But you can listen to that show on ZeroPointRadio.com. Or if you want to, you can buy it from me. I'll sell it to you. No problem. I'll make a CD and get to you next week. I sell my shows for $10. Any show you want, $10. I'll sell it. Keep in mind that North Korea attacking South Korea or any other country with nuclear bombs would be met with, well, it'd be met with retaliatory strike. I'm sure it would. So doing so would be suicide, wouldn't it? If they decided they want to do this nuclear war thing and Kim Jong-il is mentally ill, yeah, well, you may not buy this, but I think North Korea probably wants a peace agreement with South Korea. I think it's because their resources are bad, and I think they're doing this because they're saying, hey, listen to us, or we're going to do something. Just like what happened with China. Listen to us. We're running out of food, running out of resources. Listen to us, we're going to bomb Pearl Harbor. So our job will be to pay attention to what North Korea is doing. If we don't pay attention to it, they could very well carry out their plan. We hope they don't, because we certainly don't want to be in the middle of a nuclear conflagration between North Korea, South Korea, China, and the United States, because then that puts us at danger, and many of us are already worried about terrorist attacks here in this country anyway. America would be eager, though, to declare war because we have turned into a predatory state. We look at every opportunity we can to up our increase for the military-industrial complex and start bombing whomever is in our way. See how they acted with the Somali pirates? They were just fishermen that were basically coming after people who were dumping in their fishing grounds and stealing their fish. And then we turn around and say, we're going to wipe out their bases. We got new boats. They're going to take out these pirates. It was bullshit. There was nothing. It wasn't that big of a deal, but we made it a big deal because we thought they were terrorists, and they weren't. They were just poor fishermen trying to make their trade and trying to clean up their land. But see, the Texas sheriff mentality has not changed in this country, even with Obama. It hasn't changed. We still have that shoot first, ask questions later attitude, and that's not going to help us at all. There is no sale, in my opinion, for change right now. Not at all. In fact, it seems like this new administration, we have become more predatory by attacking countries unprovoked and killing civilians. You heard about what happened in Pakistan. We're still talking about Afghanistan and whether or not we use that phosphorus, that white phosphorus on that group of people. This was a funeral procession in Pakistan that were killed. You know, why is this happening? Why are we doing this? Because we want war. It's those 1,290 days that we're kicking around those texts and those scriptures and those things to get the Muslims and the Israelites and all these people pissed off. That's what's going on. You can see it happening right now. Go ahead.
No, they're really selling the idea of war really big now. I noticed last week Stephen Colbert was in Iraq for the whole week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, I mean, that would have never happened when Bush was in office. And everyone, you know, was against that. Now it's just amazing to see these left-wingers, supposedly, now over there rah-rahing for war.
Yes, and it's what's really interesting, though, is like I said before, this is not only, I mean, we polarized both right and left, but now we're polarizing members of the left. Because there are left-wingers that don't believe what's going on or don't want what's going on, and so they're fighting with other left-wingers. So we have this division amongst the left-wing, which is making things even harder because now we don't know who to trust and who to believe anymore. This is an anomaly that's never happened before. We act as though we don't worry about the repercussions, but there are going to be repercussions. That's why a lot of people are believing that the fighting of these wars right now are nothing more than prolonged pogroms. That they are here to depopulate the planet, which they probably are. I mean, we get rid of those people who are the bottom feeders, at least we think they are. It's been the agenda with Agenda 21, the Bilderberg Group, all those creepy secret societies. They want to eliminate two-thirds of the population. Why? Who knows? But they do. I mean, you just saw that we've gone phase six now. Phase six with the WHO, the World Health Organization with pandemics. I said, don't discount the swine flu. Oh, okay. Yeah, people like Alex Jones going, oh, it's a hoax. Oh, it's wrong. Oh. No, it's not a hoax, Mr. Jones. It's very real, and they're going to use it to require you in September to get three shots. Don't be surprised if you get a knock on your door saying, have you gotten your three shots against the flu? Because they're going to require you to get them. Go ahead, Mike.
So have you noticed a lot more dead birds on the ground lately and squirrels and things?
Are you noticing a lot of dead birds and squirrels?
I'm asking if you have or if you've...
A couple weeks ago, I've seen maybe one or two, but yeah, why?
I've seen a lot more on my bike rides, man. I mean, it's carnage, but maybe it has something to do with the flu.
Could. Maybe it's passing around. You're right. It could be. See, we have designer babies. We have euthanasia. We have eugenics. We have these things going on. They're all here. to basically cull the planet. You know, euthanasia kills the sick and the infirm, and we're speeding up the process of this end times because that's what they want. Clean it up now. They're able to take your own genetic sequences. They can reduce you down to your basic components, and when they do that, they're able to track you, monitor your health, prevent you from traveling, keep you from marrying or reproducing. You're basically a carbon-based accident waiting to happen and need to be eliminated from the planet. That's how they look at you. That's the way it is. Remember, your carbon footprint is the mark of the beast. Why? Because if you break down your carbon components, you'll find out that you are 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons, or 666. It's easy to see that. You know, and it's easy to say to yourself, oh, it's a chip that we're going to put in you. But think about this. If they're going to put a chip in you, why is it that they still need DNA bases? Why is it they still need your fingerprints? Why is it that they still need all this stuff? They need it because you can't necessarily use a chip to track you, but you can be tracked with your blood and your liquids and all those other things, and those are the things that make you you, you see? So your mark is actually your blood. Your mark is your own mark, and that's exactly what it is, you see? And that's what they're talking about. Go ahead, quick.
Well, I thought it was the mark, because it's 666, there's separate but equal numbers, 3 separate but equal numbers.
Right, but they say that it's the mark of a man. Well, the mark of a man is your own blood.
Well, there's 3 separate but equal men on Earth. The low-income man, the middle-income man, and the upper-income man.
Could be.
And the reflection, the image, is the stock market.
Did they answer what it is?
Not until the whole world is represented by the image, the stock market, and then you'll see everything happen.
Okay. That's a good thought, too. It's a good thought. See, every wrinkle, every blood cell, everything about you is like a book. That's why things like CSI is popular, because the body leaves behind marks and tracers. You are a book. You are your own mark. And that's why they want to have all this stuff in the future. It's not all about chips. When people tell you that the wars we fight are about oil, they're wrong. The wars we fight about are over blood. It's all about blood. They're all about dynasties fighting over whose bloodlines are superior. It's all about empires whose leaders claim that they have direct bloodlines from God. It's all about the shedding of blood of the innocent, and it is about the bleeding of one soul in order to rob someone for their virtue. Weird War 4 is a war for your mind and a war for your blood. Interesting to note that Nina Auerbach, who wrote the book Vampires Ourselves, wrote, "Every age embraces the vampire it needs." And take a look at all the vampires, the all vampire stories that are now in the pop culture, and how they're getting us a reason to understand vampirism and why it's important to have it in our lives. From Twilight to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, vampires are now the in thing. They're cool. Why? Because vampires are your friends now. 500 years ago, vampires were killers. Now, they're your lovers. I'd hate to think of what Hitler's going to be like in 500 years. You know, we'll have a little amusement park dedicated to him called Fatherland. Even breakfast cereals like Count Chocula will have crispy Hitler flakes with little marshmallow swastikas floating in the bowl. Yeah, that's what happens when you're 500 years. Your notoriety becomes a little less scary and nefarious. I am a sick puppy, but that's the way it operates. The themes of blood sacrifice have been at the forefront of the entire war on terror. The religious themes are loaded with blood ritual, genealogy, and the final slaying of those that are wicked. These themes have been mixed with the political rhetoric and used as a weapon and trigger for the fanatical arm of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. I pointed that out tonight. The vampiric power elite have been playing both sides of the game with a promised outcome for millennia. The outcome has always been sacrifice, having you kill yourself for their cause. That is the great conspiracy, is that to get you to kill yourself for their cause. The biggest trick that these reptilian vampires pull is convincing you that they don't exist and convincing you that they have not entered into sacred areas of government and religion. They have, and they're here now, and that's why we feel the way we do. That's why we're not having any money. That's why we're not progressing, is because they're doing this to us. They have focused on the shedding of blood as an atonement for our perceived sins against the planet, and it's our fault that we are in the predicament we're in. Not their fault for bleeding the planet dry and raping the planet of its resources because of war. They are blaming it on us, and we have to do something about it. We have to save ourselves, because they certainly aren't going to save us. And it's all manufactured for this militant empire they want to create and they want to explore. And if you decide that you don't want to be a part of this militant empire, you are a terrorist. And take a look at all the homegrown terrorists that we're now having now. In Weird War 4, the angels and the vampires are gathering in the Matrix for battle. They're ready to pounce on the vulnerable. And the indications are that times will be so desperate that perhaps we may even run the risk of becoming vampires ourselves. We will see a time where some of our perceived allies in the world will become bloodthirsty and devourers of our spirit. Your beliefs will be challenged once again, and the shock treatment will give you reason to go against what you truly believe. It is important to always listen to your heart, and you have the power to counteract the bad programming. But the apocalypse begins in your soul. And if you decide to follow through with it and be fearful, and then it becomes physical, then those 1,290 days I'm talking about, those 42 months, those 3.5 years are going to be hell for you. And then, by 2012, we'll see just what this programming has done to us. Now, my challenge to you is to reject the programming. And I know it's hard for a lot of us because we've been raised in this programming, but the positive thing, see, people think that I'm a big doom and gloom monger. I'm not. The positive thing is that if we work together and we decide that if we get out of our comfort zone and we decide that there are things more important than the programming, then that's when we're going to win. Otherwise, we're going to be like that asshole who came up here and told me that I was full of shit and I was anti-American. Because that gets people out of their comfort zone and it pisses them off and they don't like to hear it because they're afraid of the future. Just want to let you know that there are a bunch of dates I want you to be aware of. June 22nd, the solstice. Be aware of that because something could happen then. We also have drills that will be going on June 27th, I believe. And then from there, we have the time frame after July 4th, from the 9th to the 10th. We may see some problems in Israel there, too. And the reason why I'm saying this is because it was written down. I've been studying this, and I'm going to be making an appearance on several talk shows to talk about this. What you're hearing tonight is the first of what a lot of people are interested in hearing about. Because they want to know what this all means, and I'm trying to figure it out, too. This is still new to me, but I do have some background in this, and that's why I'm talking about it and sharing it with you tonight. If you want your friends to listen to this, you can come to the Ground Zero Lounge here on Monday nights, every Monday night at 8 o'clock at Dante's. Bring your friends because we're expounding upon a lot of this stuff. Also, the Ground Zero shows that we do here at Dante's rerun, and they will play again on Wednesday night on ZeroPointRadio.com, and they run in the evening. And they run in real time, so you have to listen to it in real time or you're going to miss it. And they sometimes rerun it by request. So come in the chat room. You can go to GroundZeroMedia.org. Go to ZeroPointRadio.com, listen to the shows that we have available to you. Come to the shows here because it's important. And also, in order to keep things going, too, I ask you to buy the shows that you like. $10 gets you the shows and to help out in any way you can. Go ahead, Sarah.
You can also find podcasts at MediaMonarchy.com and CascadiaPublicRadio.org. However, if you want the full stereo experience of Clyde's special shows, or even the best listening, just the best listening quality, you'll want to get them from Clyde himself.
Right, right. So we thank you once again for coming out. ZeroPointRadio.com. Be sure to drink up and have a good time here at Dante's. Karaoke from Hell's up next. Good night, everybody. Thank you for coming out.